Turn, if you will, in your Bibles tonight to Matthew, the 16th chapter. We're going to look about the body of Christ, the church. I love this passage of Scripture because I love my church. Starting in verse 13 of chapter 16 of the book of Matthew. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Jesus answered and said, "You are the Christ." Or Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your blessings. And God, we just thank you for this passage of Scripture. And Lord, just give us some insight about loving our church and how we are to love you. And we give you all the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Caesarea Philippi. We happened to be able to go there when we was in Israel. Y'all remember the cave and the gates of hell. And a beautiful place. And we sat there on the side of a spring. It's a beautiful spring coming up and pretty water coming down. And it was a site where Jesus was supposed to talk to his disciples. And the side of the mountain is where they offered the sacrifices. And there was a big hole in. What they would do is they would go up there and they would throw the person in, usually a child, into that hole, and to please the gods. And if the blood came out into the spring, which it would, if it, the God was pleased. I can imagine Jesus sitting there talking about the gate of hell and says, you know, the gate, this kind of thing, what's going on, killing children, you know, that will not prevail. My church is going to prevail. And you are my church. You know, how do we love our church? How do we love God? You know, the body of Christ, I think of you as part of, we are the church. Amen. Baptized, born again believers are God's church. Everyone that is in Christ is part of that church, and we add people to it, or God adds people to it. Those He wants to be saved, whether they're Methodist or Presbyterian or whatever, Baptist, God adds them to the church. If we come by simple faith, and I love it because God loved it. He said, "Peter, that's the way you love the church. I gave my life for the church. I gave my life for the people." And, you know, we're sinners without Christ. We're without hope. We have no hope without Jesus Christ. We were dead in our trespasses, the Bible said. Beautiful song, "I've Been Set Free." Amazing grace. But you know, God gave His Son so much that he loved the church so much, He loved people so much that He sent His Son to die for you and I. And when we realize that He came to die for you and I, that we might have life, He said, and have it more abundantly, then we ought to also love Him the same way. And I should give my life, all that I am, to Jesus Christ. I should be dedicated to Jesus Christ. You know, I show love to my family by being there for them. You do too, amen? If you really love your family, you show you're there for them. I thank God that I have not only a church family that loves me that way and I love you that way, but I have an earthly family. Some of you guys know who my family are real well, and you know that we have a very close family. Brothers get along. That's hard to imagine, isn't it? I could ask any one of my brothers to do something for me, and they will do it. I don't know why, but they do it. And one of them's working on a nice deer stand for me. I said, I'm getting a little older now, and I can't set those trees. And he said, I'll build you one. He's a good welder, and he's a good builder. And he's been working on one for months. And, you know, not many brothers would do that. And I had one the other day. I lost a tire going down to in Jacksonville and off the trailer. And I just pulled it up there to the house and said, Gary, can you fix that for me? I'll be back next week to get it. And I went back Saturday. It was ready. And it didn't cost me anything. He paid all the expenses. And I thought, man, that's a good brother. You know, we show love to each other. And I got a little sister. It's harder to love her, but we do love her. No, we love that sister, I guarantee you. She's the jewel of our family, I guess. She's a great girl. But we support each other and mother. We support each other. And that's the way it ought to be in a church. That's the way it ought to be in God's family, that when one of us have a need, we support each other because we are a family. And we don't need to speak ill about one another. We're just to love one another as Christ loved His church and gave His life for it. And we show our love for the family by being there and supporting it and doing for it. We show it by our attitude. Man, it's been a wonderful day. There are a lot of families who've broken up because they lost the vision or lost what it means about being really a family. And they've broken up. I have families that met that don't speak to each other and are at war with each other. So we need to love each other for the right reason. And I believe the reason is because Jesus Christ loved us and gave His life for them. Now, Matthew 16:13. I want to know how good we are at sharing this. Here are the apostles sitting here. I thought about this as I was reading it. They're sitting there by that spring, and they're talking, Jesus is talking to them. They've come there to rest and relax, and Jesus says to His apostles, you know, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And some said, looked at Him and said, well, some say John the Baptist. Some say Elijah, and some say the prophets, Jeremiah. And I thought, as I read that scripture, if Jesus asked us today, who do men say that I am? How good are we at communicating that to people? How good are we at getting the message out or across to people who come our way? In our church, not only in our church, in our lives, why do people say, or Jesus said, who do people say that I am? Well, I've been able to share quite a bit with people. I love to share it with people, and when somebody gets along, I get a chance to talk to them. You know, you have to look for the opportunities in life. I just don't go up and knock people down with the gospel and plaster them with the gospel. I think there's good ways to do it. And people will respect you and people will accept you and listen to you a whole lot more if seems like if you're not so pushy as some people are. But Jesus said, listen, how good are we at getting out the message of what or who I am? And Peter says the answer. And he says, you know, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus looked at him and said, Peter, you know, blessed are you, because flesh and blood hadn't revealed that, but the Holy Spirit, or my Father, who is in heaven. Because of Christ, he says, that's the building of the church. That's what the church is going to be built of. And the Spirit of God has led him to say that. And so what are we going to do about telling the world about the gospel? Jesus says, one, I'm going to build my church. I'm going to build my church out of people, and I'm going to build my church into a great big family. Now, I don't know about you, but I've got a lot of family in heaven. They're there, praise God, they're there. They were born again Christians, and I'm looking forward to seeing them there. And the gospel message is that Jesus Christ is the message. He's the one who came and died for us. He is the Messiah. He's the Savior of the world, and he meets every need that we have. And he gave a sacrificial life, his, for our sins, that we might have life. And when I think about that and think about how unworthy that we are, and think about how many times we are closed-mouthed and don't say anything about the gospel, you know, I wonder, do we really love him? Do we really support him? Do we really do like our families are there for him? You see, God says, I came to seek and to save those which are lost, and that's what I give you to do. He says, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel, teach them, baptize them. And some interesting things about the church, if you read over in the book of Acts, there was life there in that church. Now, I love a church that's exciting. You know, this morning was exciting, wasn't it? I mean, this was exciting. You know, I'm so glad we feel comfortable here when we come in here and praise God. Man, I felt good last night. These young people, you and Mr. Blessing, they sing my kind of music. I like that music. Boy, Donnie and Deanne and them did a great job up here this morning. That is Why Me, Lord. Was it Why Me? Who am I? Who am I? That is a beautiful song. I like that. I just noticed I'm a Baptist. I'm a Baptist, and Baptists can't raise their hand. You know, we can't raise it. But you know what? I am so glad that people feel free enough to raise their hand if they want to. I looked over here at the Genesis Center. The Genesis Center called me months back and said, Preacher, will you allow us to come to your church? I said, oh, yeah. Come on. I'd love to have you. There's one over here, she was getting after it, and I thought, praise the Lord. You know, I'm glad that she feels comfortable enough to do that if she wants to, because that's what God wants us to do as a family. We ought to feel comfortable in a family. That's right, man. I tell you what, and I'm excited about going up there. I've been up there twice. That it's always interesting to go and preach. They have mothers that would all kinds of situations there. They have been abused. They've been beaten by their husbands. They're a lot of them, you know, have children, that, and they're trying to raise them, and they're trying to get jobs for them. And I'm always glad to go up there because a lot of them are lost. And the young lady that came down this morning says, I'm on the right track now, and I'm going to keep going that direction. And I thought, praise God. Praise God. She's on the right track now. And we come with all kinds of burdens and weights and problems. But, you know, I was thinking, we ought to love one another. We can love one another. And we don't look down on anybody. I don't want to look down on anybody. I just want to let them know that you can come here, no matter who you are, and worship God. You see, Jesus said, this kind of church I want. A church that's lively. Now, let me tell you about the first church. It was exciting in Acts. They held all things in common. They gave themselves to that church. And folks, we need to give ourselves to it. It's sad to me. One thing that's sad to me is, how many of you think we had here this morning? I would say close to 450. I'm a conservative Baptist, you know, on that. I'd like to say 600, but I don't think so. But, you know, but the trouble is we only had 225 in Sunday school. And, you know, I think that's a shame, because that is where we grow as a family. That is where we learn one another. That is where we learn the Word together. And if we're not attending, you know, and supporting our teachers, and those teachers work hard on those lessons. I know it. Brother Bill works hard on all those lessons he passes out. He spends hours of work doing that so that he can help teachers. And if we're not supporting them, then we're not really supporting the church like we ought to. And it's important to God. It was important enough to God to die for it. And the early church spent their time together there. And they loved each other. And they prayed for each other. And they studied the Word of God together. And they witnessed the gospel of Jesus Christ moving in a mighty way. And thousands of people were being saved in such a way that the world said, well, you got to do something about this church. Now, wouldn't that be nice if the world said, hey, that church up there, or this town said, hey, that church up there is so excited, you know, we need to go see what's going on there. They're holding all things together. They love each other up there. They love each other. And the Lord said, the Bible says, he added unto the church as such as them were being saved. In other words, he says, I'm building my church. And when you know Jesus, and when you love Jesus, you're going to love people. You just can't help but love people. It doesn't matter what color they are, what race they are. You just want to love people because God loves people. And, you know, if you love those, you're going to have a relationship with them. And I think if you love the church and you love God, you're going to have a good relationship with him. You see, Jesus Christ, he says, I am the lover of the church. I am the sustainer of the church. I am the head, he says, of the church. I am the groom of the church, and I'm coming back for my church. And it's important to Jesus. And when you know him, friends, when you really know Jesus Christ, you're going to love him, and you're going to be willing to give your all to him, and you're going to love his people. Now, not only that, he says, and the gates of hell will not prevail against this. He said, Peter, upon your profession of faith that I am the Son of God, you know, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You know, I love his mission. I love his mission. You know, back years ago when I surrendered to preach, I said, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I will do it. And I was on a mission trip in North Dakota. We did a lot of mission work back then, going and singing and revivals. I was just young, and Rhonda was young, and even my little brother Terry, he was young. He was just a little old teenager, but he could sing. He don't sing much anymore, but he could sing, and we took him along. And we went up there, and we sing in Colorado and different places, and put on revivals for churches that couldn't afford to have churches. Now, this is back in the 70s, so we were pretty young back in those days. But God had called us to do that kind of work. We were enjoying it. And through that calling, he called me into his service. But, you know, everywhere I went, I just wanted to let people know about the love of Christ. Y'all ever been to Cripple Creek? It's got all kinds of gambling joints and everything in it now. We were in that old church back in the late, early 70s, right around 72, 73 sometime, preaching the gospel in that old church. There wasn't hardly room in there for everybody. It's one of these old churches. They may have it tore down now, but it was what we look at is a little old wooden church you see on a little house on the prairie. And, boy, we filled that thing up with people. And we started singing about Jesus and teaching about Jesus. And we had a happy spell about Jesus Christ. We really enjoyed that. Why? It was because of the mission of God to get the word out. We had a vision. And the Bible says if you don't have a vision, then you perish. And Jesus says, listen, you need to catch afresh and anew my vision. Folks, I believe we need that here. We need to get excited. People are coming to church, coming to added to the congregation. We have a big crowd here. We need people in the choir too. I was telling Brother Teddy, I said, you know what? We have lost a lot of people in our choir, and they're passing away. It's not because people are getting mad at Brother Teddy or anything. They're just dying out. Some people say, I don't know if I want to join the choir. They die. Well, young people over there getting counseling right now. They're counseling, you know. The last time I went over there, they had cookies and stuff. And I said, man. But you know what? We need to get young people, or we need to get our people involved in the choir. And we need to get people doing things like that. We got some great singers and musicians here. But you know, that's what it's all about. Just enjoying the worship of God. And then Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody can come to the Father except through me. And that's the message that we've got to get out. Jesus is the only way to heaven. There's a lot of people in our society, they don't believe that anymore. They'll tell you there's many ways to get to heaven, but Jesus says there's only one way. And if you believe Jesus, you have to believe his word. And Jesus says there's only one way to come, and it is through Christ. You know, it's through Christ that we learn about heaven. It's through his word that I find that heaven's going to be a beautiful place. The older I get, the more I like to read about heaven. You know, it's a beautiful place. And not only do we learn about heaven, but you also learn about hell. And you learn that when you die and you don't know Jesus Christ, you go to a place called hell, and that is where you don't want to go. You're there for all eternity, separated from God. They call it out of darkness, our bottomless pit, where the worm dieth not. Man, you're forever there in a place, lonely, dark. And Jesus says, you link your life to me, and you come and know me, and I will give you the power to batter down those gates. I will give the church the power to literally go out into the community and tell people about Jesus. And I thought, you know, that's the kind of power the early church had. That's the kind of power we need, you know. We need that kind of power. And I wonder how many people really love the church. That you're willing to go out and sacrifice, go out and tell people about the message of Jesus Christ. Nicodemus came, and Jesus said, Nicodemus, if you're not born from above, you will have no life. And Jesus Christ thought it so important that we get that fact out of there that he was willing to die for it. And I don't think Christ would have died if it wasn't an important point. If there was some other way to get to heaven without him having to die, but there wasn't, was it? And he wouldn't have cried over Jerusalem if it were not important. Think about it. He cried for Jerusalem. He wanted people to be saved. So how are we to love God's church tonight? Well, we're to love him like we love the Lord. And this is our assignment. For he says, I come to seek and to save those which are lost. Now I want you to go forth and literally batter down the gates of hell. Friends, Teddy mentioned a while ago, it just don't happen. It's God's plan. That we had two people on rescue, mission rescue, or what do they call that? Disaster relief. Disaster relief. Folks, that's what we are, disaster relief. There's a disaster in the world. People are dying and going to hell every day because they don't know Jesus Christ, and we are to rescue them. I love that old song, rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them from in pity from sin and the grave. And folks, do we really love people that way? Do we really love them? I've asked you over and over, how many people have you asked to Christ this year? How many people have you shared the gospel with? How many people have you invited? The large part of the congregation could have to be honest with yourself, would say, I haven't invited anybody. I know we have ladies that go out. I know we have men that go out. But the biggest part of the congregation would have to say, well, preacher, we haven't done any of that. And if you haven't done what he asked you, do you really love him? Well, we support our family. We support our Lord if we really love him and have a relationship with him. And Jesus says to his disciples, come on home with me, and I'm giving you life. Jesus asked you tonight, he paid the price on the cross. Would you come to him and give your life to him? Would you? If you've never asked Christ to come into your life, tonight you're going to have an opportunity. Do you really love him? Do you love his church? If you do, you'll do everything he asks you to do. You know, I've told you many times, growing up as a family, we were close, but I did what mother asked me to do, and I did what father asked me to do because I loved them and I respected them, and they loved me back. You see, I think when we love Christ, we're going to do what he asks us to do, and we'll love his church, and he will bless your life. You'll be excited about coming. You'll be excited about the gospel. You'll be excited about missions. So if you need to come tonight and just say, Lord, my commitment has dwindled. It does, don't it? It does. It dwindles. My commitment to you has slipped. I was one of those that wasn't in Sunday school this morning, and I need to be there. Would you make that commitment to him? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your blessings. We thank you, Lord. Tonight we have an opportunity to commit ourselves to you, to your work. Lord, that we might see souls saved, that we might see lives in this town change, that we might see our church change. And God, we'll give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.